It's a presentation of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know, we can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Welcome on in. What a way to start the show, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like it.
Oh, my goodness gracious. It's a Wolves midweek installment of the Sports Hub right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Glad to be with you. And, yeah, we are here. We did make it in this morning. We're talking about our hijinks off the air, but we did make it in. It's kind of touch and go a little bit, but we made it.
We made it. It was slow, and you were trying to just see what you could in front of you. And it was my normal 10-minute commute probably turned into 20 to 25 minutes because I was taking it real slow. And I've gotten a good amount of practice, driving in snow since I've moved here. And I've driven in some pretty bad conditions before coming home from ball games. But this is probably top of the list for me for worst driving conditions since I've been out here.
The wind is absolutely brutal. The wind is so bad right now. And full disclosure, we've got Chris Weber coming up here in about 15 minutes. Northern State track and field. Izzy Moore, Northern State women's basketball player, towards the bottom of the hour. We had both of these student athletes slated to join us live in studio. I texted them both this morning. I said, don't even worry about it. We'll do phone.
Don't come in.
Don't come in. I'm not trying to have that on my conscience. God forbid, you spin out and stuff happens. I don't need that on my conscience. I don't need the coaches mad at me for this sort of thing. Like, one of my best players is hurt, got their car wrecked. No. We'll just do phone. We'll be
fine.
For
the Sports Hub, are you kidding me?
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. For the Sports Hub, don't you ever come back here and show your face around here ever again. You're fire. One of those deals. But yeah, that's what we've got on tap for the day here today, as Chris Weber, he'll be joining us about a quarter past the hour. Northern State Hooper and NSIC and World, well, not World Player of the Week, well, D2 World, sure, why not? We'll throw it all underneath that umbrella. The D2 Player of the Week as well, Izzy Moore. She'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour.
Well, they always do say, best team, best player in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. There you go.
Yeah, that'll
that
work.
Works.
That'll absolutely work. So looking forward to those discussions coming up here on the program with the Cobra here on FSA. Let's get to the jump. It is all on the local side of things, by the way. It's a good thing that today is a Wednesday, because if this was a Thursday, all of the matchups for tonight would be postponed or maybe even potentially canceled. But we've reached that time of the year where you're up against the calendar a little bit.
Yep.
We do have games slated for tomorrow, and I feel like 50-50 for tomorrow, too.
I do, too. I think the wind's still going to be a factor, and the snow's on the ground, so I'll be interested to see. Aberdeen Roncalli goes to Dole tomorrow at Clear Lake. That's 2 hours away, so we'll see if that even happens. I know rural game of the week is Ipswich and Gettysburg.
Mm-hmm.
And Gettysburg's, isn't that pretty far away from Ipswich as well?
I'd say maybe an hour and a half-ish, give or take.
So we'll see if those games happen. I'm with you. It's going to be 50-50 if they get these things in.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see how it all plays out. And Mother Nature, again, we were talking about this off the air. They were saying, about a 30% chance for some scattered snow showers, no big deal. And, you know, maybe a little bit of a wind advisory. So I thought to myself, okay, dusting, nope, no big problem. And, yeah, it was definitely brutal this morning, and it's not great right now either.
My car looked like an icicle this morning.
Yeah.
I didn't understand it. I'm like, I got home at around 10 from the Roncalli game last night, and I'm like, this isn't too bad. I knew it was going to cool down, but I got in the car this morning. I could barely open my door. It was like ice cold shut because I park outside.
Sure, yeah. Been there, done that. That's less than ideal. By the way, for what it's worth, Gettysburg to Ipswich, 1 hour and 11 minutes, 74.7 miles. Depends who's driving, how fast they can make that up. High school athletics from last night. It was senior night for the Roncalli girls. A nice win for them, defeating Florence Henry 55-41. Riley Voller, game-high 19 points. Claire Crawford was cooking with the Baker's Dozen. Aberdeen Roncalli wins it by 14 over the Falcons last night.
Yeah, really nice win for them. Seniors stepped up. All three of them played a great game. Bowler and Crawford, obviously, from the scoring perspective. And Helms just following the best player on the other side defensively. Those three seniors have meant a lot to the program for Coach Larson. He talked about there on the pregame and postgame. And you got 15 wins this year for this team. They lost a lot from last year from seniors that graduated, Ava Hansen, just to name a few. And now you bounce back with another 15-win season this year and have a chance to finish the regular season 16-4 on Thursday against Dole. You've got the number one seed pretty much locked. That first-round bye locked there for the region tournament next Thursday. Larson said that there post-game. So now you get ready for some postseason basketball. Obviously, you want to finish strong against Dole, but what a season this team's had. I mean, a lot of new faces, a lot of sophomores, some freshmen that are getting some time, and you've really played some good basketball. So really nice win for Roncalli there last night. Great season for them as a whole. And the Florence Henry, I want to point this out as well, they got a really bright future, not one senior on that team.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of similarities, probably to a lesser degree this year, but with Aberdeen Roncalli and Northern State in terms of their girls and women's basketball programs. You look at how much teams lose from year to year, whether it's graduation or graduation/transfer portal on the college side of things. It just goes to show you, and granted, Riley Voller and Claire Crawford and Izzy Moore and Morgan Fiedler and some of these other girls and women, they're very, very good. It just goes to show you how much coaching matters.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think that's one thing that sort of gets swept under the rug from time to time. It's like, oh, we don't have any players that are that great. Do a little, Colin Coward. They don't have any players. You know, like, you got to have players. Don't get me wrong. But just goes to show you how much coaching matters and scheme matters.
I completely agree with that. Culture. I'm just watching the JV games and the C team last night, and these gals are dialed in. I mean, there's the future's bright. I mean, you just watch it, you're like, wow, these gals can play. And I think when these seniors graduate, the next group's going to come in, and you know, a lot of these gals that are playing some significant minutes on Roncalli, now, they're sophomores, so they got some great playing experience this year, and we'll see how far they get. You know, this team should be thinking about getting to the state tournament. They're there. I mean, they're that good, I think, and we'll have to wait and see how that shakes out. But I think that could be the expectation this year.
Well, they've lost, the last 2 years to Mount Vernon Plankinton in the SODEC 16? And
yep.
Ava Hansen versus Reagan Russ, and now they're both on the same team here in town with Northern State. Langford, they would defeat Aberdeen Christian last night, behind 16 from Peyton Marlowe, 69-22. Lauren Burkhard with 15 points. Aberdeen Central defeats Watertown, 52-43. Kennedy Withers had 14. Did note that Taryn Hermanson was not in the box score there last night. And I thought to myself, is that an injury? I'm not quite sure. We've efforted to talk a little Aberdeen Central basketball, and we'll see if we can get that done at some point here in the not-too-distant future. But I actually went online, and I found it. Two box scores from Aberdeen Central basketball games last night. We talked about this off the air, and full disclosure, we're fired up, given the fact that it's like trying to, you know, nail paint, or, you know, trying to nail jello to the wall, trying to get, you know, scores and highlights with all the high school coaches across the state. We talked about this off the air.
Yep.
And, like, this is the first time all year I've actually found a box score on game night for an Aberdeen Central game. First time in, what, mid-February?
Wow.
Great. Awesome. Better late than never.
Wow, that's surprising.
Thanks, Watertown folks. We appreciate it.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was funny. I was talking to Coach Larson about that, and we were talking a little bit off the air yesterday about the whole stats thing. He actually said, I was like, was that a kind of a closer vote when we were looking at the kind of the terminology?
Yeah.
And he said it really wasn't. So it was unanimous the way they're doing it now because of the what we were seeing with some of the repercussions. If you don't do it three times, you can get suspended and things of that. So I asked him, like, because we were talking about it, is this something that you could see in the future? He said, I just don't think coaches are going to do that. So
yeah.
No.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm right there with Coach Larson. I think the wording was too hardcore. And we'll get into that more probably tomorrow on the program and maybe even Friday too. But that's definitely a full-on jump, I think, going forward that we'll have certainly there. High school girls hoops there, continuing with Warner and Woolsey Wessington. It would be the Warbirds defeating the Monarchs 57-49. Shea Utecht with 29 points in the win there for Woolsey Wessington. Izzy Stephenson drops 27. You were talking about her yesterday, Cobra. You said, hey, if she has a great game, Hamlin's usually going to win. She has had herself a really nice year. Hamlin was all over Britton Hecla 67-19. Check out HubCityRadio.com for more details from the girls' side from last night. The Christian boys win the LRC. They defeat Lankford last night 79-41. Our guy, Raymond Rodriguez-Martinez, with a team-high 18 points. Aberdeen Christian continues their strong play, and they win the LRC.
Yep, great year for them. And Raymond Rodriguez-Martinez, maybe his best scoring output of the season. And this Aberdeen Christian team has just been absolutely dialed in all season long. And to get the LRC championship, big time for them.
Good stuff. Castlewood would fall to Sioux Valley at home 50-47. You had, let's see, Falkton fall on the road at Miller's Place 51-36, despite a dozen from Corbin Stark. The Central boys, they fell on the road to Watertown 67-45, despite 16 from Luke Swanson. And it would be Warner defeating Woolsey Wessington 61-52. There was a lot more action from last night. Would encourage you to check it all out on our website, HubCityRadio.com. We're getting into the meat of our Wolves midweek. Chris Weber, he'll be joining us next on the Sports Hub on FSA. Rocking and rolling for a Wolves midweek installment of the Sports Hub right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, online, HubCityRadio.com, live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page, Facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. From the snowy Hub City, not quite Antarctica, although it feels like it's here today. We're pleased to be joined on the phone line by Chris Weber, graduate student from Northern State Track and Field, and the gentleman that joins us on the phone line here. And Chris, we appreciate you taking some time out of your morning. How are things?
Things are good. You know, definitely a different day than I expected this morning, but, you know, that's how it goes in South Dakota.
Dude, tell me about it. We were talking about this earlier. 30% chance for snow is what we heard, and we're like, you know, light dusting, nothing too crazy. Next thing you know, it's a blizzard outside, and it feels like we're in Ukraine or Russia or something like that, or the polar ice caps. So,
I wasn't really expecting campus to be closed today, so that was definitely a throw in the loop of my day plans.
Yeah, no kidding. I texted you this morning. I said, "Don't join us live in studio," and we'd love to see your face, but we totally get it, and did not want to put you in harm's way. So appreciate you taking some time out of your morning. So what does a morning or kind of day look like for you that campus is closed? Do you guys still get a chance to go out to the Barnett Center to get some workouts in, or what's your day look like now?
Today was supposed to be a light day anyways with the team meeting. So then that team meeting got moved to tomorrow anyways, and then it's just cross train. So we have people that, like, if you feel safe enough to drive to the Barnett Center, I think we can still go, but I don't know that for sure. But then also, it's just kind of more like a cross-train light day just to get your body right for tomorrow's workout, and then Friday, obviously, we compete this week. So,
yeah, I'm surprised I didn't have you on a Zoom meeting or something like that,
right?
I mean, usually, were you surprised by that there this morning or no?
No. Normally we don't do Zoom for a track. We like to meet in person.
Sure.
Yeah, so do we. But, you know, sometimes the weather dictates that. And that's one thing about living in 2026 that the kids in like the 90s and early 2000s just completely different wavelengths. It's like we used to have snow days back in the day. Like we went outside, we'd build snowmen, we'd do whatever the heck that we wanted to. It's like now we got a virtual learning day because of the snow. So not to rub it in or anything like that, but like you said, yeah, classes and all that good stuff are canceled. Chris Weber joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We had you live in studio here this last year, and you were talking about battling through some health things and really kind of coming out on the other end of that, smelling like a rose, if you will. How are things with you and your body right now? Because it feels like you're putting up some really, really solid numbers, and you've kind of worked through some things, and congratulations to you for that.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. I had a sinusitis this last, like, from August to December, and then I had to have a surgery on it. So then I've been dealing with that kind of this semester for a little bit, like, just getting over that. And then just getting back into the rhythm of actually, like, putting down solid times again, because obviously I'm not where I want to be fully, but it's also not the conference championship yet either, so, like, there comes to a point of time where it's like you're working, you're progressing, like your way up. Like my times have been going down kind of consistently. Every now and then it takes a jump in there depending on how I feel during the week. But honestly, it's just the working and like trusting the process, and then honestly just putting my full race together instead of running. I feel like I'll either have a really good start and I'll run really good at the end, or I'll have a really good start and then not run good at the end, or start bad and run really good throughout the whole race. So it kind of just depends on the whole situation for that part.
Mm-hmm. How are you feeling physically? Do you feel like you're getting closer to 100%? Are you at 100% or what?
This week has been definitely the best week by far. So I can definitely say this week and then next week I'll probably be at my best. I feel really good right now, if that puts you in any perspective. So.
Well, you hit the provisional mark in the 60-meter with a time of 6.80 there down in Brookings there this last weekend. I think that was on Saturday, if memory serves correctly. So what worked well for you there? Was that a start-to-finish outstanding race for you, or did you kind of start off a little slow and then finish strong? I mean, how'd that kind of work out for you?
Yeah, no, I don't know. That was definitely my best race of the year, feel-wise. For me, I don't know what's been going on. I felt like I've been running more like in an outdoor one. Like I'll get up to like my top speed or like a speed that I can hold and just hold instead of like pushing through. With the 60, you kind of have to. And, you know, it sounds kind of weird, but like you get into that, like that pattern of running the outdoor 100 where you get up to like a 75, 80, 95%. Mm-hmm. And you want to just hold so you can preserve the rest of your race. Versus like the 60, you just have to go. And, you know, now that that's kind of clicking with me again, it's feeling a lot better that I'm running. So
can you maybe talk about maybe the difference between a strong start and a strong finish? Because you hear, you know, when running, you got to get off to a strong start, whether that's, you know, out of the chute right away, you got to be able to hold your own, and then you got to finish strong as well, and you know you got to be able to preserve that energy. And my guess is that takes a lot of training and things of that, and just doing it over and repetition over and over again. So can you maybe walk us through those terms and maybe the biggest difference?
The biggest difference for me, like I have not been getting good out of the blocks this year. Like my reaction time hasn't been great, so working on that in practice really helps, like just jumping, like reacting to like our block drills and everything else, and just like being precise on it, getting out with that, and then the right technique going into that so you can build your race, like because you come out in a certain way so that way that you can build your race into like your full sprint speed. In the 60, it's not really about holding as much. You want to push through the line because you can sprint for 60 meters without decelling, according to science. So that's the proper way, is to push all the way through versus, you know, so like at my end, like I should still be accelerating through that finish line. And sometimes like this year, I haven't been as well as I should have been.
So how do you, I'm sorry, go ahead. Didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, you're fine. You can ask questions.
So how do you figure that out? Like, is it all in the start to kind of figure out to still be accelerating as you're passing the finish line? Like, how do you know when you're at your tip-top speed? Is it just a feel that you have or film study? Yeah. Like, how do you figure that out?
Most of the time, for me, it's just a feel. Like, I can tell, like when I run slower, it's like the cycling isn't there in my legs, or like the turnover, per se. Like, your legs are just not moving as fast, or you're like, you don't feel like you're putting as much force to the ground, so you're not fully driving through that line.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Do you mentally visualize a race as well? Like, you know, pre-match or pre-race and things like that, or even during the week, like, do you kind of mentally, you know, visualize what you want to do for race day, and then when you're ready to go, and obviously you want to execute the plan, but that's not always how it goes.
Yeah, no, I definitely try to. Like, there's definitely numbers I want to hit every week too, like where I want to be at, and, you know, I always want a PR, but this year's been a little bit frustrating with that. But definitely visualizing the race, like just getting out well and then like finishing well before and after. Like sometimes I see my heat beforehand, like going looking on it on like athletic.net and see who I have to race. And like I picture like who I have to run against, especially if there's guys in the conference that I know that are fast too. Like it definitely puts in perspective, like it makes you want to run better against those guys too.
Probably not a lot of trash talk out there, or is there? As Chris Weber's our guest here on Fox Sports Every, you don't strike me as a big time trash talker out there. But is there a lot of that across the line or anything like that post match?
I've definitely heard some of it from like some of my other teammates have talked about, like them getting trash talked too. But I've never heard it myself nor given it out.
Yeah.
Trash.
So. Yeah, I feel like that not necessarily a sport where there's a whole lot of trash talk. I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, I agree with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. I mean, most of the guys that I know, and we run against them so often because we go to like SDSU pretty much every other week. So I know a lot of the SDSU guys, so like I like keeping up with their team too.
So you know, running the 60, you know, my guess is it's, you know, it's over before you can blink. I mean, you know, so I'm talking about a strong finish. You know, there really isn't one when you think about it, because you got to get off to a fast start. Next thing you know, it's done, right? So
yeah,
I mean,
not a lot of
go ahead.
Not a lot of thinking going on.
Yeah. So
like,
go ahead.
Last week, I think I had my eyes closed the entire race, and then I opened my eyes and I was like, I'm done.
I think there was a picture of you on online there. Of think maybe even on your run. Yeah, there it is. And you got the eyes closed. So how do you figure out where the H you're going? I mean, you got your eyes closed the whole time. I mean, is it all a feel? I mean, open your eyes, man. You got to see where you're going.
I think I was a little bit too relaxed during that race.
Okay.
I was kind of just clearing out my head and just saying like I kind of just want to run my race, not focused on anyone else. Because sometimes you can push it too hard and like tighten up a little bit, so you're not as fast either. So, I going into that final, I was like, this is just what I want to run. Like, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna focus on myself and just push through that line, and that's what I did.
There you go. Gotcha.
Is it kind of hard to, you know, relax yourself, you know, when you're, you know, at the starting line there? Because it is a kind of a, you know, quick start and a quick finish. And like you said, next thing you know, it's done. So, I mean, you got to be able to kind of relax yourself. I mean, I feel like, you know, a lot of guys probably get pretty tight in that moment, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's a lot of mental aspects that go into just everything. And my biggest thing is like, if you try to overthink it, you're going to mess up somewhere. Or, like, if you overthink it beforehand, like, obviously something's probably not going to go your way during the race because you're thinking about one thing so much, too. Like, my main goal before especially competing is just clear my head and just go out there with nothing, kind of that aspect. So that way when I run, like obviously I have the time set and like I want a PR, but everything else is out the window, like form, technique, like all of that's cleared for my head. And that's just focused for practice at this point, is like everything that I do comes down to like being like repetitive. It's like the same thing over and over and over again. It's like a person shooting a free throw.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to change it, so why think about it?
Sure.
You literally took the words right out of my mouth. I was just going to say, it sounds like a free throw shooter that's getting into their, like, repetition.
Routine.
Their routine, exactly. Perfect way to describe it. Maybe one or two more here with Chris Weber on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. So what is your goal, I guess, this upcoming weekend? Is this another one of those where you're trying to hit that, or is this just the next rung on the ladder, if you will, before the NSIC championships?
My next goal, because my PR is 673 from last year's conference championships, and that put me 20th in the nation or 24th mm-hmm. last year. And we're looking to go to nationals this year, so I would really like to be back in the 670s next week, and then the next week after is Mankato. So then you get on a really fast track and mm-hmm. run against really good competition, and the nerves are there, everything's there, so. You know, that always helps me run is when it's like, this is what we worked for. Like, we're peaking at the right time. Like, we're not having as hard of a workload during the week either. So, like, now's the time to run good if I'm going to run good.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we're going to be following your journey for sure. We're looking forward to seeing you there in the, I shouldn't say 6-7s, but, you know, there's a joke there, I think, somewhere, and I'm not gonna hit on that. All those jokes, I mean, my goodness gracious. But we'll be following you for sure there in Brookings and then Mankato. So continued success here, Chris, and appreciate you being a part of the program here today.
Yep, thank you.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure for sure. That's Chris Weber on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. I'm not going to make any of those jokes. I think we've had it with the 6-7 jokes.
Yes, we did. We were okay. I mean, we definitely dropped a couple jokes in there.
Yeah.
But good job holding that one back.
Yeah. You know, for me, I'd be just thinking about it like a burger or something like that. He talks about getting his head cleared. Good for him. I mean,
that race is over so fast.
It's amazing, right?
I mean, the start in that race is just so vital. And like you said, he's reaching his top speed probably by the time that thing's done.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm talking about having a strong finish. That's how you know I know absolutely nothing about track and field. Because I'm asking a question about a strong finish when his race is all about a strong start.
I know. It's wild how it all works out, but, I mean, his finish is crossing the line, and he's still ramping up to get to his best. So good stuff there from Chris Weber. Coming up next, we're talking with the Division II Women's Basketball Player of the Week. Izzy Moore, she'll join us live.
It's the
Sports Hub continues for a Wolves midweek installment of the program on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420, 98.5. He's Cobra, I'm Tukes, and we're joined by the Division II Player of the Week, Izzy Moore, joining us on the phone line. Izzy, thanks for taking some time this morning. How are things?
They're good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure for sure. And I told our listeners, same thing with Chris Weber and same thing with you. We were supposed to have you live in studio, but Mother Nature said no thanks. And I didn't need that on my conscience. You know, God forbid you spin out and then PK's mad at me for the rest of my life. So this is probably for the best. Well, that's a pretty cool deal. Division II Player of the Week. That has a nice ring to it. What's that kind of accolade mean to you? That's a pretty nice deal.
It does. It means a lot. I honestly, I couldn't imagine that, but it's fun. It's even more fun that it's at the end of February and March when it matters that you're playing well. So, yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, and, you know, first the NSIC Player of the Week came out, and then the National Player came out right after that. Did you feel like after the performance and you had the NSIC Player, did you think, hey, maybe I'll be the National Player of the Week?
I thought maybe after I got Player of the Week, I thought maybe I had a chance of getting it, but I had no idea how other girls were playing around the nation. But no, yeah, for sure. I was super happy for the Player of the Week, and then the National Player of the Week came out, and it was kind of surreal a little bit.
Said the same thing to Cobra yesterday on the show. I was like, yeah, she had an amazing game, but I don't know how everybody else did in the GAC or the MIAA or something like that. So she's got a better than 0% chance, and obviously got that taken care of. So I'm curious about the pregame routine. Like, did you know that you were about to go off against Duluth, or is this just kind of a game out of nowhere? Like, did you see it coming, or how did that kind of work out for you?
I guess I was a little more locked in. I knew that if we could get this one, it'd be huge for us. And I didn't do anything special or anything, but I was very mentally there, and I knew I was going to need to play well and make big plays. So I was prepared to do that, and I think that just put me in the right headspace. But it was also just getting the ball where I needed to, and my teammates were good at doing that the whole game. So, yeah.
Did you have like a light bulb moment this year, whether it was in practice or, you know, your preseason, off-season training, where you're like, what I'm doing is working? I mean, because you're having a great year scoring the basketball. And I was thinking about it yesterday when I knew you were coming on. I was thinking like what was kind of your light bulb moment where like you're taking over games now, and when the ball's in your hand, you feel like, you know, you can get to the basket, you can shoot, you can get your teammates involved. I mean, you're the, you know, floor general, if you will, out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my preseason was really, really good, and I knew then I was going to have to score it. But I guess that first half of the season, I was scoring it pretty well, and I was like, okay, this is working. And then I was having a few games in a row where I was also rebounding it well, and I was kind of feeling in the zone and pretty good there. And then I did have a couple games where it wasn't going as well, and I knew I could either decide to let that shake me up and take me out of it, or just show up the next weekend and try as hard as I could. And I guess I hate winter weekend. I was like, all right, let's just keep this rolling until the end of the season.
Yeah, and it really has. As Izzy Moore joins us here on FSA, take us back to I Hate Winter. I mean, last year had the jump in the hot tub moment against Mankato, of course. I think they were sixth in the country at the time. Two quality wins this year for you guys against Sioux Falls and SMSU. I mean, if you would have told me before the season, hey, you're going to sweep SMSU as well as Sioux Falls, I'd say, wow, that they need to play really great for those four games. Just what's it like playing for I Hate Winter weekend in front of that insane student section?
Yeah, I would have said the same thing preseason if you told me that. But I guess it was just the energy of the crowd, and also we had been playing better than we thought. Well, we might be playing at that point in the season, and we knew we can play with anyone when we're playing tough, be like we did that weekend, and things were just rolling. But definitely the energy in the gym just helped so much, and it's you feel a little pressure on your shoulders to perform for everyone there, and I think that was good for our team to know that all these people had come out to support us, and now we needed to show up for them. And I feel like that definitely showed in both those games and getting both those dubs. So yeah,
we've talked to Coach Kruger a couple times, and you know, we've talked about it being kind of a roller coaster of a season. You've had some really good ups and a couple, you know, some downs as well. Do you see it that way as well when you look at this year?
Yeah, I knew there were going to be ups and downs, but I honestly didn't know if they were going to be this high. And
sure,
obviously our lows were very, very low as well. But I was prepared for that, probably not to the extent that it's been, but the highs are always worth it. And the fun thing about it is we're ending on a high, and hopefully we can get the work done this weekend and end on a super high, which I think we can do. But yeah, I knew with our young team it was going to be a roller coaster of a year, and it was going to matter how me and Mo and the other seniors were able to lead them and get them back on track when we had those low moments. And I think we've done a good job of doing that. So
no question. Izzy Moore joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. Can you believe it that Thursday night is senior night? I mean, this is going to be your last game played in the Barnett Center for a regular season game, still looking for that home playoff game there perhaps next week. But have you kind of had the opportunity to put yourself in that headspace? And what's that going to be like? Mom and dad are going to be there. Your sister's going to be right there by your side, and probably your other sisters too there as well. So, I mean, what's the emotion going to be like for you on Thursday night against Mary?
Yeah, it's a bunch of different emotions, but it's definitely just been just an insane career in 5 years, and you know you're not ready for it to be done, but at the same time, you know, it's just it is the end of that road. And I feel like I haven't really been able to put myself in that headspace. I got a little emotional before the Duluth game, just it being our last trip and stuff, but looking ahead to Thursday, it's kind of just overwhelming to think about that being my last regular season game in the Barnett Center, and just how fast these last two seasons have gone. But at the same time, just so thankful that I ended up here and at this place. So I'm super thankful. That's really what I'm trying to focus on with all of the sad emotions that come with it.
How cool is it, you know, playing with your sister at the college level? I mean, I feel like that's, you know, pretty unique, pretty cool that, you know, you obviously grew up together, played basketball all growing up, and, you know, now you're playing at, you know, some of the highest level at Division II, and, you know, she's right there by your side as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's super awesome. She's just my best friend in practice and at games, and she's always someone I can go by and sit and just kind of decompress a little bit, which ends up needing to happen a lot. But yeah, it's super unique, and I'm thankful she's been here these last two seasons. I don't know if I would be where I am at without her, and getting to share the court when we do, it's super special. And I hope she gets to have the fun 3 years by herself as well. But yeah, it's been awesome. I'm super thankful we found this opportunity.
Izzy Moore is our guest on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5 for a Wolves midweek installment of the show. And I'm going to editorialize here just a little bit. I think you're at your best is when you're avoiding foul trouble. I don't think that's necessarily breaking news. I mean, I think that was the Crookston game where you got two quick fouls and then the team just kind of bottomed out there a little bit. But when you are staying out of foul trouble and, you know, you're playing for a full 38, 39, sometimes 40 minutes, this team is probably one of the more tougher teams to beat in the conference. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I would definitely say that's fair to say. When we're all out there and playing free, it's definitely – we're definitely playing our best. And that's the thing with foul trouble. You know, you can still be in the game, but you're kind of playing a little more tight. You don't want to pick up that second and third, fourth foul. So that's definitely important for me because – I love crashing the boards. I love playing tough D. And you can't play, make those plays the same way when you can't pick up another foul. So, yeah, that Crookston game, that was a tough start. And also, my dad thinks that's mental and just preparing for a game, which I've tried to do a little bit better. But, I mean, at some point, you can't avoid all those calls. But, yeah, foul trouble is definitely something I need to stay away these last several games.
Now, as a player, you know, this is probably a dumb question, and you kind of already answered it, but – you know, when you're in foul trouble and you're out there in the game, you're probably a little bit passive because you don't want to pick up that extra foul. But from your perspective, what's it like kind of playing with foul trouble? Do you just try to play your game, not think about it, or how do you go about it?
I do try to just play my game and not think about it. At the same time, my game is just a little too aggressive for that in foul trouble. So it does end up just – it's in the back of your head, even – on offense, because I have picked up several offensive fouls this year. So you're even more hesitant to get in the lane and body someone up, but on D the same way, you can't be as physical. And our league is smart and they'll attack you when you have foul trouble as well. So they try to get their best player on you and attack you down low. So yeah, it sucks when you're in foul trouble really. And it does take you out of your normal game mindset, whether or not you think it does, but I try to stay away just so I don't have to deal with that.
Division II Player of the Week, Izzy Moore, joining us on Fox Sports Aberdeen. A couple more before we get you out of here. I know you got to jump back to practice here a little bit, but do you have a favorite team to beat in the conference? I mean, you've beaten, I think, just about everybody now that from your time from Augustana to now Northern State. Do you have a certain game or a particular memory, a particular shot, a moment that you kind of look back at and you're like, wow, that's tough to beat?
Yeah, I think maybe my shot against SMSU last year. I think it was SMSU, and there was a three-pointer. I always love to beat SMSU, and USF is always fun as well. My game at USF this year was super fun. It just felt like everything was clicking there in the fourth quarter, and definitely fun to beat those Sioux Falls teams, but also Duluth this year I think might have been one of my favorites just because their girls were getting a little sassy there, so it was really fun to beat them and just have the game I had, but always fun to beat USF and SMSU.
Yeah, a little chippy. Was that the left wing three against SMSU last year then, the swish?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, hard to beat that one.
So the 41-point game, we were looking at the numbers. You shot two threes all game. I mean, you were, I think it was 15 of 19 from the floor, the 41 points, and I just couldn't believe, you know, only one three you made. Mm-hmm. So you're a three-point shooter. Obviously, you could shoot it from outside, but, you know, you look back and you were doing it inside out. I mean, that's pretty impressive. Can you maybe just walk us through what's it like being in the zone where it feels like anytime you put up a shot, it goes in?
Yeah, I think it's when I get the ball in that mid-post area to post area. I'm pretty good with attacking and getting down there in the post, which it felt like that was what was clicking that game, is just to get it down there in the short corner and attack middle, see what I can do. But yeah, it was just kind of, I don't know, it didn't even feel like I drove from a wing that much that game. It was mostly just cuts, and I think that's when I feel the most in the zone is when I'm able to use their physicalness and make cuts to the basket. And then my teammates were so good at getting me the ball on time and where I needed it to be, not letting me get pushed out to the wing as much. So yeah, I think it was just being able to work the post, which is one of my favorite things to do that game.
Yeah, everyone, of course, sees the 41 points, but you don't win that game without Reagan's 19 and Mo doing her thing and Megan. Mm-hmm. I mean, that really was a team win for you guys there.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to tomorrow. Can we just like play you versus Bergen Kinnebrew? I mean, the last two NSIC Players of the Week, the last two Division II Players of the Week have come from these two teams. That's kind of a cool deal, huh?
It is, yeah. It's kind of a random coincidence that we're playing them tomorrow, but yeah, I'm not sure if I'll end up on Bergen as much to stay out of that foul trouble. She's too good, but if I get switched off, for sure. But yeah, it should just be a good game against two good teams, and we've come a long ways from our first game when we lost, obviously, by that 17. But we were talking about it in film today. It was 17, but really it was like 5-10 the most of the game until mm-hmm. we started fouling at the end. So, and we've come a long way with our defense and our offense, so I think we're going to be able to get them this time, and it'll be a good battle, though, for sure.
I think so. You, Mary, and Northern games are historically very, very close one way or another. I think mm-hmm. Thursday is going to be just like that. So looking forward mm-hmm. to it. Stay out of foul trouble, Izzy. And
yeah, I will.
Appreciate you being a part of the program, and congratulations on an incredible year. And looking forward to the playoffs here in the not-too-distant future.
Yes, me too. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure for sure. Izzy Moore joining us on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. She really has been magnificent this season, and I think that matchup tomorrow, I don't think I'm breaking any news here. I think it's going down to the fourth quarter. I don't see either team blowing out the opposite here on Thursday night.
No, I'd be shocked. I really would. Now, I mean, I say that every single time, you know, we talk about Northern State women's basketball. And
no idea.
No, you just don't know what you're going to get. They could go out and win by 20. You'd be like, is that really the most shocking thing ever? No, because they did it earlier this year when they played, who was it, Moorhead at home?
Yeah, they beat them by 20.
They were like, oh, this game's going down to the wire, fourth quarter. Next thing you know, they beat them by 20. So yeah. I don't know. I think this is going to be a great matchup, though. You got two of the best players, if not the best players in the conference, going up against one another. And this is a team right now that's red hot. And let's see if they can finish this thing off strong here. But can we just fast forward to that one there tomorrow night?
It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, 20-18-16, their last three wins. You're talking about Moorhead, Bemidji, and then, of course, Duluth. I mean, did anybody see going on the road against Duluth? I think they were 9-1 at home and beat them okay. Like, that can happen for sure.
Yep.
But to blow them out of their own gym, I don't think anybody saw that.
Nope, I didn't. You know, I was like, if they can go 1-1 this weekend on the road, pretty in prime position here for the final two games. That's the way I thought about it, but sometimes you get hot, you get big time performances like that there on Saturday, and wow, I mean, what a season she's having. We talked about it, you know, she was always a great player.
Yeah.
But she's really taken that next step this year.
I've said it multiple times on and off the air to people. I just didn't see this effort offensively from her. I thought that she'd be pegged as a 10 to 15 point scorer per game. She's at 19 right now, and she's had multiple games of 26 or more. She had 41, of course, against Duluth. And I said it once before, I'll say it again. They don't win that game without the 19 points from Reagan Russ.
I mean, you got to get her the ball.
For sure. I mean, everybody had an impact on that game, and it's kind of, I don't want to say unfortunate, that performance might get overlooked. Like, this freshman has been phenomenal this year. Reagan Russ has been getting better and better and better, and she's going to be really, really good in the future. And I got all these girls, Addie Neuendorf, you've seen her here this last week for Hamlin. You add that into the mix. I mean, the trajectory for this Northern State women's basketball team is up high.
No doubt about it. I think, and, you know, we've talked to coaches before, and the great thing about, you know, having a player like Moore and some of these others is, you know, they're playing together, but when the game wanes and you need somebody to get a bucket, you have that player. And I think that's really crucial in games. I mean, it really is. Coach Larson talks about that all the time. You know, you got to have players that want the ball in their hands in big moments, and the Wolves have multiple players that can knock down shots and want the ball in their hands in a big moment.
Maybe she can fail the rest of her classes to get one more year of eligibility. I don't know if that's how that works. Probably not. Coming up next on the show, we're going to wrap up this Wolves Midweek. Sports Hub continues for a Wolves Midweek. Two great guests, Chris Weber and Izzy Moore, joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Northern State, they bring in UMary tomorrow. That'll be a 5:30 and 7:30 tip-off right here on these airwaves on 1420 AM and 98.5 FM. Pre-game begins at 5 o'clock for that 5:30 tip-off. We're talking off the air. I cannot believe it. It's already the end of the regular season. Senior day is tomorrow for them. It's nuts.
Pretty hard to believe. Need to see a big performance from this men's team as well. You know, they've kind of hit the skids here a little bit on the road, and I think they need a big bounce-back performance tomorrow. And I know we were talking Izzy Moore and the women's team, and they're, you know, riding high right now, but I think this is a massive game coming up for the men as well.
I think it's crucial. I mean, if you want to potentially host a playoff game, you got to run the table here. The table's not very long anymore. It's not like a big, like, 25-foot table, but it's like, it's like a six-footer. And you've got Mary coming into town tomorrow, and if you look at the numbers, Mary has had a tough time this year, and Northern probably played one of their better passing games of the season going up against that 2-3 zone, beating them up in Bismarck. I think they had 27 assists in that game, so they'll have some opportunities to shoot the ball tomorrow at home to beat that 2-3 zone. And then Deuce Benjamin worked them the first time against Minot, the first meeting.
Okay.
And he was dominant against Northern. They had zero answer for him. They've got them on Saturday, of course, up in Minot. So this is a crucial weekend for them. You want to play a home game at the Barnett Center in the playoffs, you have to go 2-0.
Yep, and here's your opportunity to do it. And let's see how they come out and play. But I'm looking at that one tomorrow, and obviously they need to win Saturday as well. But tomorrow, to me, they got to get back to the way they were playing earlier this year.
And not to belabor the point, but the fact that this team is playing meaningful basketball in the end of February.
Neat.
From where they were last year, one win in conference all year against Crookston. You're at 10 now. I mean, again, talk about upward trajectory. Looking forward to it tomorrow here on the Sports Hub as well on FSA and, of course, the Barnett Center as well.